Well, you want to keep your Bibles handy. We'll be going all over the place, but the main text being in John 18. And I just have to say, this has nothing to do with the message, but I can't help it. I got to say it. Jean Sigler, I really enjoy the way you worship. I was watching Jean. She's just so in love with the Lord. It's just glowing from her face. Thank you for that. Well, I'd be lying to you, which is not a good thing to do since we're talking about truth this morning, but I'd be lying to you if I didn't tell you. This message had me going for a while. It took a lot longer to get done than I thought it was going to. So bear with me. I'll do my best, and we'll just see what we learn here today. So the title is Know the Truth, Live the Truth, Speak the Truth. And the theme is God is Truth. And the children of God are to know the truth, live the truth, and speak the truth. Just like the title. So what is truth? What about the author of lies and our natural tendency? What about the author of truth and our new nature? So once again, know the truth, live the truth, speak the truth. What is truth? Jesus stood before Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea. Jesus was on trial, soon to be condemned to death. As Pilate interrogated him, he asked the king of the Jews, "What is truth?" It is a question that is still being asked today. If you stop and think about it, it's a very important question. Its importance is so very critical and vital that everyone who doesn't know the truth should be asking this question, what is truth? Who in their right mind doesn't want to know the truth? Yet, in the spirit of our age, there are those who are not asking the question. They are not asking because they do not believe there is such a thing as objective truth. In the opinion of many regarding the topic of truth, everything is relative and is dependent on finite opinion, finite human thinking, which are influenced by one's environment, culture, and worldview. Another's view of truth may be different than my view of truth. And can anyone claim to have a monopoly on truth? I mean, who would dare to claim a monopoly on truth? Who could be so arrogant to do that? Jesus. And we'll get to that. Situation ethics. Catch this, guys. I know we're throwing a lot of stuff around, but catch this. Situation ethics and competing worldviews and competing religions and competing human philosophies produce varied and convoluted perceptions of truth. Why is that? Because humans are flawed, and our perceptions are flawed. This reality, along with varied perceptions of truth, runs the great risk of being flawed, yet each one holds tenaciously to their own truth, or their view of truth, while holding that the other person's view of truth is suspect. Even those who do not believe that, now catch this, even those who do not believe that there is such a thing as objective truth hold to their opinion that it is true. The belief that there is no objective truth is their truth. That's ironic. Well then, whose opinion of truth is truth? Who wins the argument? I come back again to Pilate's question that he asked Jesus, what is truth? And so we come to the second part of this outline, the author of lies and our natural tendency. If determining what is truth wasn't enough to deal with, consider the opposite of truth. The opposite of truth is the lie. Consider the fall. When Adam and Eve rebelled against God, sin and death entered the human race, and we inherited a fallen nature. One of the casualties of our fall was alienation from the truth. From the very moment that man fell into sin, Adam and Eve would have to teach their children to tell the truth. Did you catch the significance of that? As soon as the fall began, Adam and Eve would have to teach their children to tell the truth. They didn't have to teach them how to lie. Oh, no. No. A child's lie. A child's lie. Does it just stay with children, though? Are we not like children when we lie? When we encounter a situation where it is tough and costly or risky to tell the truth, what are we tempted to do? Let's escape the consequences. Let's dodge the issue with a lie. This is so clear in my memory, and I must have only been 6 years old, maybe seven. It is so clear to me. Way back, and I mean it was way back, when I was a child, even before the Bee Gees, can you believe that? Way back when I was a child, my family lived in the town of Chico, California. Seemed the old hometown. And as a kid, I was messing around in the garage, and I was playing with a fireplace screen. Now, we didn't have a fireplace, but Dad kept the fireplace screen and was stored in the garage. So I'm pulling on the thing, and the curtain's going, ching, 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 ching. You know, having a blast, right? Chunk. Oh, I broke it. Mm. Get out of there, man. Said it. I'm gone. Well, in my hometown, my dad owned a Flying A service station. That's what brought us to Chico. He became an owner of a Flying A station. I wish we had the sign. I'd even store it in my backyard. I'd love to have the Flying A service station sign. So we're at the station, and of course, we're not going to gas up at a competing station. We go to the Flying A station to gas up the car. My dad came up to the car, and I was totally taken away. I wasn't prepared for this. He came up to the car and asked me if I broke the fireplace screen. That was a couple of days ago. How did he? I remember this. It's almost like a kid before you're going to get a shot. You know, you go to the doctor and you know, just before he plunges it in your arm or somewhere else, right? And oh boy, I took a deep breath and I told my dad a bold-faced lie. See, that's what I did. Well, as a child growing up, I have to confess, I had a very sensitive conscience. I was so overwhelmed with the guilt of that lie that as mom, I mean, it didn't even take, she was just pulling out of the service station and I go, hey, by the way, mom, the guilt was overwhelming to me and I spilled the beans. You see, the guilt of the lie for me was more painful than the risk of punishment. To a degree, anyway. Dad was merciful. And if my memory is correct, the issue never came up. I'm sure my mom was my advocate, and my dad had a tender heart, and I greatly appreciate it now as I recollect the whole incident. And then I also realized my dad, with the pressure of that business not making, and then my brother being sick, my dad had all he could handle. And that even makes it even more amazing to me, his grace. So our capacity, did you know that we can even lie to ourselves that a lie is not a lie? How's that for spin? You know, the classic little white lie. Or the half-truth. Well, at least half of it's true. The fallen human heart. When it comes to shunning or rejecting the truth, the fallen human heart can be very determined, stubborn, and just downright obstinate. Worse yet, it could actually prefer the lie over truth. Now, that's a real Lulu. Are you telling me there are people that would prefer the lie over the truth? Yeah. Romans 1:18 and verse 25. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and the wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. The fallen human heart is capable of suppressing truth. Think of the ramifications of that, guys. That's a big one. The fallen human heart is capable of suppressing the truth. The fallen human heart is capable of exchanging the truth of God for a lie. Those are two very big issues as we consider human history. Human history is filled with occasions where people do not want to hear the truth. Certainly in our day, we see this. If we go back to Acts chapter 7, verses 51 on, remember the first martyr, Stephen? The first martyr, Stephen, and he's giving his defense. He's on trial. And in his summary, he reviews a list of Israel's heroes and the history of Israel's disobedience. And notice the response of his accusers. So here's Stephen speaking. "You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute?" By the way, what were the prophets famous for? For telling the truth. "Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one, and now you have betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was put into the effect through angels, but have not obeyed it." When they heard this, see, they're ready to receive some truth, right? When they heard this, they were furious. They gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this, you can just catch this, just visualize this. At this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they rushed at him and dragged him out of the city and began to stone him, hence the first martyr of the church. This event in Acts is a powerful portrayal of a group of people rejecting the truth and their overactivated refusal to hear the truth. The extent that they go to in order not to hear the truth and then to silence the truth is nothing short of a fiercely savage and heartless, brutal response. Think of all those powerful descriptions of their reaction to the truth. Stephen told them the truth. They were filled with fury. They were filled with rage. There was the gnashing of teeth. It got to them. They were even gnashing their teeth over this thing. They covered their ears like a kid who doesn't want to hear something. You know, down in the playground going, "Nye, nye, 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 we're not going to hear," kind of thing. I mean, are you kidding? They covered their ears. They yelled as loud as they could. And then the violent action of dragging Stephen and stoning him to death. This is a graphic and powerful scene of those who so violently oppose the truth and will take the most drastic actions to silence the voice of truth. Human history is filled with the foul articulation of a lying tongue. Let's take a moment to consider the great damage and destruction that it has caused. Israel's King Ahab and Queen Jezebel excelled in wickedness. We were kind of going over this in the Sunday school class last Sunday. So these two evil people. So you have Ahab wanted some property that belonged to another man by the name of Naboth. Naboth refused to sell his property, so the king and the queen stole it from him. They accomplished this fiendish crime through the power of the lie. The power of the lie. 1 Kings 21, Jezebel, his wife, said, "Is this how you act as a king over Israel? Get up and eat. Cheer up. I'll get you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." You see, Ahab was pouting. He turned his back and knows bad, and he was all upset because he didn't get the vineyard, and he's pouting. He's the king of Israel, for heaven's sake, right? So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, placed his seal on them, and then sent them to the elders and nobles who lived in Naboth's city with him. In these letters, she wrote, sorry for the sticky pages, she wrote, and notice it's in the guise of religious activity here. It's in the guise of religion. She wrote, proclaim a day of fasting and seat Naboth in a prominent place among the people. But seat two scoundrels opposite him and have them testify that he has cursed both God and king. Then take him out and stone him to death. So the elders and the nobles who lived in Naboth's city did as Jezebel directed in the letter she had written to them. They proclaimed a fast and seated Naboth in a prominent place among the people. Then two scoundrels came and sat opposite him and brought charges against Naboth before the people, saying, Naboth has cursed both God and king. So they took him outside of the city and stoned him to death. Here's another example of the power of the powers at be in their attempt to use the lying tongue to condemn not only an innocent man. Oh, excuse me. So that was with Naboth. Now I'm going to give you another example of the powers at be that were in charge and their attempt to use the lying tongue to condemn not only an innocent man, but one who had lived a sinless life. So the power of a lie brought death to Naboth. And now we're going to see the power of a lie as it relates to Jesus. In Matthew 26, it says, the chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. They tried. They tried to use lies to destroy the life of Jesus. They destroyed him in a different way by accusing him of something he actually said. Destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up. And they used that. Beloved, have you ever noticed that we live in a world where a whole lot of lying is going on? They could probably make a song out of that. A whole lot of lying going on. Let's examine some contemporary examples with regard to the whole issue of lying. Once again, by way of reminder, the potential for destruction caused by the lying tongue is a sobering reality. This isn't even in the sermon, but I want to tell you something. I'm a real advocate and a student of World War II. The lying that came from Mussolini, the lying that came from Stalin, the lying that came from Hitler was absolutely devastating in what it caused. In our own day, we have witnessed numerous occasions where people have been slandered because of their political beliefs and the hurt and the cost that is brought to them and their families and things that aren't true at all. I don't care what party you belong to. You can't get around this, folks. It wasn't true. And they were slandered and it brought damage to the person and their family. The leaning leftist Marxist media, and it's out there. I won't name names. I won't label labels, but it's out there. And if you don't see it, guys, you got to open your eyes. It's there. This is not a conspiracy, okay? The leaning leftist Marxist media is no exception to this with regard to the very irresponsible, fake, and false reporting they have done to the damage and hurt of others. The fake news, which is lying, is done to fit into a narrative that the so-called journalists or pundits want their desire. They want that narrative to fit their beliefs, their ideology. Facts irrelevant. Facts are irrelevant at this point and must be sacrificed to support the all-important narrative based on somebody's ideology. We all have views and ideology, but my encouragement to us, beloved, is examine your ideology and make sure it's in line with reality and the truth, because that's what we're to be. Fake news has become so acute that those who have been hurt by a lying media with false narratives, these news companies are now being sued millions of dollars for their folly by a growing number of victims. And the news is not taking them to court because their hand has been caught in the cookie jar and they know that if they go to court, they're going to lose millions. So they're staying away from the courts. That shows something was going on. They're paying off the victims to keep from going to court. This issue of lying is so vast and has so permeated our society and culture, as well as its effect on a global scale, that I believe it is a moral pandemic in our age. Coronavirus will come and go. Coronavirus will come and go. But I believe there is a moral pandemic in our age, and the effective vaccine to combat this problem is the truth. The truth. Let me give you two examples. Revisionist history and disinformation. Now, there are times, and we can talk about this over there if you want, there are times in the context of a war or a various situation where disinformation may be a good thing, but also it can be a very bad thing, okay? So two examples. Revisionist history. Definition, revisionist history. It is when one reviews history through a myopic lens of political ideology to fit one's political narrative. It is at the expense of historical facts and at the expense of objective historical context. In this approach to history, facts will be maligned, ignored, and altered to fit the ideological narrative. Beloved, I ran into Russians when I first started working at Hertz, got to know these dear Russian people, and you know, they never knew about Pearl Harbor. They were told we started the war, and they knew nothing about Pearl Harbor. So Candace Owens, she was speaking at CPAC. Candace Owens is a conservative activist. She is very articulate, and she is proud to be an American. Candace is a Black American, and she's not bitter. She's so refreshing. She's not bitter at all. She had a grandfather who had a great influence in her life. She has a great attitude and is appreciative for the country she lives in, even with its flaws. We must acknowledge the flaws of the country, of course. Candace has teamed up with Charlie Kirk in an organization called Turning Point. This organization is represented in numerous colleges across the nation. Its purpose is to articulate and promote conservative principles and ideals in the framework of a Judeo-Christian framework, okay, on college campuses. Do you know they're persecuted? Did you know that? They're persecuted, guys. In America, in college campuses, they are persecuted. Candace challenges the revisionist historical idea that the white European male is the major cause of all the problems of our modern world we face today. Now, my antennas are going to go up because it's a Black woman who's going to talk about this. The following is a quote about the subject of race and biased blame directed towards white people. This speech was recently given at CPAC 2020. Candace gives response to a tweet that Colin Kaepernick tweeted. Quoting his tweet, he said this: "There is nothing new about American attacks against Black and brown people for the expansion of American imperialism." Okay? "America has always sanctioned and besieged Black and brown bodies." That's how he refers to it. Candace response was as follows. She's going to start that myopic lens that Kaepernick has, where he only sees a little bit of this and then twists it towards his ideology. It's called revisionist history, and it's nonsense. She's going to take that lens and open it up for us to see the whole picture. Okay? So she's addressing Colin Kaepernick with this. "Persia used to be an empire, quite literally an imperial dynasty, for 200 years. Now, in my own words, here's what she says: Persia was a nation of Black and brown bodies who sought to imperialize Black and brown bodies. Oh, and white ones too. Now, I don't look at people whether they're Black or white or brown. That's not the way I really operate, but I guess I have to bring it up for this particular point. So Persia was made up of brown people, Black people that oppressed other brown people and Black people and even tried to oppress white people. She goes on, now quoting her directly, "The sin of slavery was not brought to this continent by white Europeans." Now, she's not excusing the slavery and the things that were done by Europeans. She's not excusing that. She's just saying they're not the ones that introduced it to the continent. Slavery existed everywhere in the world, including here, since the dawn of humanity. Indigenous people, Native Americans, their tribes. These American Native Americans and indigenous people were trying to imperialize one another. They would enslave their war captives into labor, warring tribes. They would sometimes sell their own children. They tortured others as a part of their religious rites, and depending on which tribe you were in. Cannibalism was even commonplace. Did you know that? Before the Europeans ever landed in the Americas, Native Americans routinely cannibalized one another. Most notorious among them, perhaps, was the Aztecs. The Aztecs did human sacrifice on a scale that would just make your head spin. So this revisionist history is ludicrous, folks. There's not one ethnic, and I don't even say different races, there's only one race. There's only one. And from that, we get the variety of this wonderful thing called blacks and whites and Hispanics and all these different cultures, and I think it's great. But let's just take that revisionist history where the white European male, and especially the Christian white European male, has a lot to give account to. If the white European male is the cause of all the suffering in our country and in the whole world, and other ethnic groups are innocent and are all victims, then maybe the Apostle Paul got it all wrong. Boy, did he mess up. If the white European male is to blame for so much of the suffering and problems in our country and in our world, then Romans 1:16 and 3:23 should be translated to fit the narrative of this woke revisionist history of the past. Maybe there needs to be written a woke Bible, right? So Romans 1:16 says this: I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then for the Gentile. And that's everybody. No. Revisionist Bible would say something like this: I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation for only the European white male who really needs it. How about this one? Romans 3:23 says this: for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Maybe a woke edition of the Bible would say this: for only the white European male has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. See how ludicrous that sounds? Disinformation. Disinformation. Synonymous terms would be deception, falsehood, propaganda, half-truth, misinformation, untruth. Fox News report, March 13th. Coronavirus controversy, Chinese officials suggest U.S. is responsible. Quoting, infections in China are slowing down at the epicenter in the origin where the coronavirus began in Wuhan. Now that the number of new people infected with the coronavirus in China is slowing, the country's Communist Party is ratcheting up threats against the West with a particularly nasty warning about the access to the life-saving drugs aimed at the United States. Quoting Rich Edson, State Department correspondent, China's top diplomat to United States U.S. officials accused the Chinese government of spreading conspiracy theories about the coronavirus. Ambassador Wei Tian-kai refused to answer questions from us as he left State Department headquarters. Officials here say they objected to what they say is China's blatant global disinformation campaign on the coronavirus. Tweet from Li Jiang Zhao, March 12th. It might be U.S. Army who brought the epidemic to Wuhan. Be transparent. Make public your data. U.S. owe us an explanation. My response: there's absolutely no credible evidence for this. It is very rich and demonstrates incredible gall when China demands transparency when they are by far the worst regarding the issue of transparency. Are you kidding me? And I'm not saying our country is without flaws, guys. Don't get me wrong. But are you kidding me? Quoting Rich Edson, China is trying to deflect criticism for hiding information about the coronavirus at the onset of mass infections in Wuhan. Disinformation about this virus remains a challenge. 2 million tweets worldwide have spread coronavirus conspiracies. My words, how ironic. Think about this. This is really, there's an irony here. The virus is causing the spread of disinformation. We think of it in terms of the virus itself, but it's causing the spread of disinformation. International disinformation is a real problem, and it's being addressed. But think how much disinformation fouls this up. The fallen nature of the human heart is very adept at lying. I wish that wasn't true, but it is. However, the sin nature of humanity is not the only source for lying. The ultimate source of a lying tongue is that old serpent, Satan. Now, we can't blame him for all lying, but he's certainly the ultimate source. Listen to the testimony of Jesus Christ regarding the character of Satan with regard to lying. John chapter 8. Here's what Jesus has to say about Satan. Here's who we're up against, folks. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. The inseparable companion of lying is deception. The inseparable companion of lying is deception. Lying always seeks to deceive the intended audience. The scope of lying and deception is not merely relegated to individuals, but to entire nations, the whole world. 2 John 1:7, here's what we're up against. Many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is a deceiver and the Antichrist. We can see more of how Satan is so related to lying and how lying is related to deception. Revelation 12:7-9. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads what? Who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Revelation 20. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from doing what? From deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. When the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from prison, and he will go out to do what? To do what he's best at, to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth. Well, we come to the third point of the outline, the author of truth in our new nature. Have you ever heard of the thing called the veracity of God? Veritas, it's from a Latin term. The veracity of God. God is truth. Veracity means truth. God is truth. God is the God of truth. God is the source of truth. Now catch this summary. Here's a little bit of a theological summary here for you, okay? Everything in every category in both heaven and earth, from eternity past unto eternity future, every line, every dot, every tittle, everything that can be studied or known, and even that which will remain a mystery, all that is true in every conceivable category is sourced in the God of truth. All truth belongs to God, and there is no lie that can be found in his character. It is impossible for God to lie, and we should take great comfort in that. Isaiah 65:16, whoever invokes a blessing in the land will do so by the God of who? The God of truth. Of. He's the source of truth. He who takes an oath in the land will swear by the who? By the God of truth. Truth is a big deal, folks. It's a big deal. Jesus Christ. Jesus is truth. Jesus is the God of truth. Jesus Christ is the source of truth, just like his Father. That shouldn't surprise us, Father like Son. In John chapter 14 and chapter 18, running around some verses, Jesus makes that bold declaration, I am the way and the truth and the life. Do you realize how bold that is? I thought nobody had a monopoly on the truth, but wait a minute, Jesus does. He has a monopoly on it. Why? Because he's the Son of God. Well, how do I know? That third day he walked out of that tomb. His indestructible life is proof to me that he is the truth, the way, and the life. In a world of deception and lying, in a tendency where it's even hard for us not to lie, we should draw great comfort and hope and set securely upon the truth, which is Christ. Jesus says this, for this reason I was born. For this reason I was born. And for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Thank God. When I think of what we're up against, folks, man. You know there are conspiracies out there that are not real at all? Did you know that? There are conspiracies out there that aren't even true. And then there are conspiracies out there that are true. And then we have the task of saying, is this one true or not? And then governments, they make this grand thing where we got to protect our citizens, so we'll lie to them because we got to protect them. A hard call sometimes. But what's been the cost? Think about it. What's been the cost? Mistrust. Mistrust. So now when the government says or does something, we think, well, can I trust them? That didn't happen in a vacuum. How does a government or a person or an institution regain the trust of its people? By telling the truth. And if you figure it's a danger, it'd be better to say nothing than to lie. But here's the dilemma there. Even our silence can be a lie. So, for this reason, I came into the world to testify that for the truth, everyone on the side of truth listens to me, Jesus. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is truth. The Holy Spirit is the God of truth. The Holy Spirit is the source of truth, just like the Father and Son. Going to the scriptures in John and 1 John, Jesus is speaking, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit, capital S, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. God's Word. God's Word is truth. God's Word is inspired. It is God-breathed. Various passages in 2 Samuel and Psalm and in John. It says this, and now, O Lord God, thou art God, and thy words are truth. Yet you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. All your words are true, and your righteous laws are eternal. Jesus' prayer to the Father on our behalf, his prayer on our behalf, sanctify them, set them apart, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. To the Jews who had believed in Jesus, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will what? You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What a refreshing oasis. What a refreshing spring we draw from. Truth. And where do we find it? In God's word. We find it in God. And any science or anything outside of the word, because the Bible didn't talk about everything, but any truth that is really truth out there, it belongs to him. The gospel, you know, the good news. In Galatians 2, 5 and verse 5 and 14, it is referred to as, or Paul refers to it as, the gospel of, what do you think? Gospel of truth. The gospel is true. Crucifixion, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ is a historical fact. It's true. The gospel of truth. When we respond to the gospel, our sins are forgiven and washed away, and we have the hope of eternal life. We come to the last point of the outline. Know the truth, live the truth, speak the truth. Truth in the Christian walk. God is truth, beloved. I mean, really let that hit you. God is truth. And he's all about truth. We are children of God, and as his children, we need to know the truth, live the truth, and speak the truth. Truth, and here's another big one. Truth and reality go hand in hand. Just as lying and deception goes hand in hand, truth and reality go hand in hand. And we need to be engaged in reality in the ordering of our lives and how we perceive things. To resist reality is not a good way to live, folks. It's not wise. And there are people not only running from reality, they're waging war against it. They're waging war against it. They'll make the most outrageous statements that are not true. They can't be. Denying reality or being at war with reality is not a way for us to live. It shows no wisdom. John 4, 23 and 24 and John 16, 13. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. You know, God wants us to be worshipers. What kind of worshipers is he looking for? Those who worship in spirit and truth. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Doctrine's important, folks. But when he, the Spirit of truth, capital S, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Thank God. Thank God for that. The concept of truth has innumerable applications in the Christian walk. Truth is very essential. It's a very essential concept in the Christian's life. Really quick, I've been talking a lot about truth. It's essential to the Christian life. I mean, it really is. And then I could spend another 45 minutes developing all the ways, and I still wouldn't exhaust it, of how truth is essential and applicable to the Christian life. Here's one. If we confess our sins to one another, that involves our willingness to tell the truth about ourselves when we sin and fail. You cannot confess your sins if you're not willing to tell the truth about yourself, myself included. If we tell the truth, now I get this micro thing of sharing the gospel. Sometimes we don't have opportunity to share the whole gamut of the gospel. Sometimes it's talking about Jesus and building a bridge. I get that. And there's a purpose for micro evangelism where we only get to tell part of the story. But that's not the end in itself. If we tell the truth, it means telling both the bad news and the good news as it relates to the gospel. It eventually has to work its way into that. When we teach, now think about this, when we teach, preach, pray, and fellowship, the content of what we speak must be the truth. Doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. But we need to be all about truth, beloved. Think about how much it affects us in preaching, teaching, and even when we go over there to fellowship. I mean, am I going to go to Gene Sigler and say, well, I think, what kind of lies can I come up with Gene today in our fellowship time? No, we've got to be truthful with each other. The other thing about truth is it's related to reality and it's related to transparency, which is connected to a humble heart, because it's not easy always to be transparent. We need God's help and the discernment of the Holy Spirit to help us embrace the truth and to shun the lie. Beloved, shun the lie. It is important that we immerse ourselves with the constant corrective of God's truth. It is found in His Word. So the close is simply this, the question. Pilate asked Jesus the question, what is truth? Pilate, Jesus, standing face to face with him was the very essence and the source of all truth. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen.